Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
We all want to be happy. We live in a nation that is founded on the pursuit of happiness. And I would say even beyond that, what we really want, because it's deeper than happiness, is joy. But so many people don't have it. They don't have the happiness they're pursuing. They don't have the joy that they want. Today we're going to look at what may be the number one obstacle to joy. Because perhaps the biggest reason we can't grab hold of joy today is because of what happened to us yesterday. It's the pain, the guilt, the regrets, the hurts, the shame from our past that keeps us from fully living today and moving into the future with freedom. Last week I had to pick up a friend of mine at I had to pick him up at his house and drive him to the airport in the morning. And so I got up early and I got my car and I was leaving my neighborhood. It's got one of those gates that you pull up and it automatically opens. And I pulled up and the gate started to automatically open. And so I started pulling forward and the gate started to shut. It never fully opened. It just went up about a quarter of the way and then started to shut. But I'm pulling forward and I don't want now I can't go where I want to go and I don't want the gate to hit me. So I put the car in reverse and started going backwards. And that's when I ran over those spiky things that they tell you not to go in reverse over. And so my tire blows out, and I'm sitting there, and then the gate opens. And so I'm like, I don't want my friend to not be able to get to the airport, so I was like, screw it. And I put the car in drive, and I just got in the 15 and started driving on my flat tire to pick him up, and it was not a good scene at all. And I wonder if that kind of represents our lives. You know, it's like, I know where I want to go. I've got this future in mind, but there's just something that's not quite letting me get there. And then what I always end up doing is I go in reverse. I go backwards into my past, and there's things in my past that kind of cause me to have a blowout. And I find myself then moving forward, but on a flat tire, I'm not able to really get where I want to go. Today we're going to start talking about that because we all have things that hold us back. Right? For me, for years and years, I just could not get past the abuse that I suffered from my father. It kept me in this little prison of anger and resentment, and it negatively impacted everything in my life. And it kept me from getting to the future that God had for me. I wonder what it is for you. For all of us, I think, we've got something. So here's what I want to do. Now, I want to ask you if you would identify, to kind of make this more real and more helpful for you, if this morning you would identify that one thing from your past that seems to be holding you back. What is that one thing that you just like have to let go of if you're ever going to experience joy? Where is it that you need God to come into your life and offer you some healing? Maybe for you it's that you, like me, had a parent who was difficult or neglectful or maybe even abusive, and you just can't seem to let it go. Or maybe there's a relationship that broke up and you're still hurting. Maybe you were betrayed and you're still bitter. Or maybe you had a child who broke your heart. Maybe you lost a job and you have this boss in your past or a business partner that you can't quite forgive. Or perhaps you made a bad choice and you can't forgive yourself. Maybe there's a habit or an addiction that you just keep falling victim to. Or perhaps you're afraid that you missed out on the one great opportunity of your life and it's never coming back, and you're worried that you're never going to have a chance like that again. Or maybe you're a Cubs fan and you keep rooting for the Cubs thinking this year is going to be the year, and it's never the year. It's never going to be the year. What is one area where you most need to get past your past? Here's the problem. There are so many people who never do that. They never move past their past. Something happened to them, and they've been kind of carrying it with them, and they continue to carry it with them, and it's killing them, and they can't fully move into the future God has for them. And maybe that person is you. And at some point, you just have to stop and ask yourself, do I really want to keep doing this? Do I really want to keep repeating mistakes from my past? Do I really want to keep letting the hurts from my past keep me from being happy today? Do I really want to continue to torture myself for something I did years ago, or wishing that life's circumstances could have been better? Do you really want to keep living that way? You remember the movie Back to the Future? It starred Michael J. Fox as Marty McFly, who lives in 1985. Now, Marty has a father who's just kind of a loser. He's bullied by his boss, Biff. That is a hard little phrase to say there. Try saying that three times fast. Bullied by his boss, Biff, bullied by his boss, Biff, bullied by... That's really hard to say. Try that. His mother is bitter about the life that she has and the husband she's stuck with, and so she just drinks her days away every single day. But Marty has a brother and a sister who are also both kind of losers. You can't really blame them. They had these parents who had no confidence and didn't instill any confidence in them. Well, Marty's friend, Doc Brown, invents this time machine, and so Marty goes back to the year 1955. It's before he was even born, and when his parents were still in high school. And Marty manages to change just one event, really just one moment from his parents' lives. But it's this kind of first domino event. And what it does is that one change leads them to not think of themselves as victims, but instead gives them the confidence that they can grab life and set their own destiny. And then Marty goes back to 1985, back to the future, and everything's different. Everything's different. His father is confident and successful, no longer bullied by his boss, Biff. He's now Biff's boss, and he kind of bullies him. I won't even try to say that fast. His mother is happy and not an alcoholic. His brother and sister are well adjusted and moving forward in good careers. All it took was to go back to the past and deal with something that happened, and it allowed them to get past their past. Now, we don't have a souped up DeLorean to travel. I don't have, I don't know if you have, I don't think any of us have a souped up DeLorean to travel back in time to years ago and fix what's happened. So what's the solution for us? Like, how do we get past our past? How do we finally move forward into a better future? The first thing I want to tell you is that it is possible. Okay, it is possible. And I think that you probably know that, even if you personally haven't experienced it yet. Because I know people, and I'm guessing probably you know people, who have had something horrible happen in their life, but they have moved past it. Like, you look at their life and you know what happened before, and you're like, well, somehow you managed to get past that, and you have a great life. You have happiness, you have joy today, despite your past. And so we know it is possible. Now, on the other hand, there are other people who have something horrible in their past, and they haven't gotten past it. It's like they got stuck in their past. There's a verse in the Bible, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11. We'll put it on the screen for you. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. That is kind of an unappetizing image, isn't it? Like, what is the word vomit doing in the Bible? Did a seventh grader write this verse, maybe? I don't know. But if you had or ever have had a dog, you know what this is talking about. Because when a dog gets sick, it will throw up, and then the dog will eat its throw up. And it's like, why do you want to do that? What about that looks good to you? And what this verse is saying is that in the same way, there are people who have something bad happen, or they did something bad, and instead of just walking away from it, they keep going back to it again and again. And it's like, why? What about that looks good to you? So for instance, it might be that, like me, you were abused, and you're no longer in that abusive situation, but your thoughts go back there over and over again. It's like you can't stop playing this mental videotape of what happened to you. Or maybe maybe you had an awful first marriage, and then you had a second marriage that was a whole lot like the first marriage, and now you're in a third marriage, and it's a whole lot like the first and the second marriage. Or maybe you've experienced this cycle of financial problems, and it just keeps on happening again and again, and you've never really stopped and said, what is it that's causing these financial problems? And instead, you just are repeating the folly over and over. Or maybe it's an addiction you keep going back to. You know it's killing you. It's destroying relationships, but you keep going back there. So, how do we move past our past? How do we move into our future? There's good news. So far it's been bad, but there's good news. And the good news is that God has answers for us. Like, God has ways that we can move past our past and into our future. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go to the Bible and try to find out what they are. So there's a guy in the Bible named Paul, and I love how he talked about the first part of God's solution. The first thing all of us need to do if we're going to move past our past. So if you want to turn the Bible, we're going to look at a passage in Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, that is no problem. We'll put the verses on the screen. If you don't own an easy-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. So let me set the tone. Paul was a guy with an embarrassing past. Like, he had a sordid past that he was ashamed of. And so check out how he thinks about it, starting in verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul starts out by saying, listen, I have this life that I want to live. Like, I have goals for my life. I have a kind of person that I want to become someday. I think God has a future for me, and I know that I'm not there yet. Like, I know that I have not yet taken hold of it. But then he says, in verse 13, he says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Now, it's really important that we understand what Paul means when he says this word, forget. Because he does not mean, I have erased it from my memory. Okay, that's just not possible. People cannot do that. Okay, Paul could not forget in that sense of erasing from your memory. He couldn't forget. We can't forget. No one can forget. And honestly, it wouldn't even necessarily be a good thing. Like we wish for it. I wish I could just forget what happened. It wouldn't necessarily be a good thing. Because part of getting past my past is like reflecting on it and learning from it. You know, I need to allow my past to inform my present and make me a wiser and better person. So Paul is not saying, I've forgotten what's happened in my past. No, what he's saying is this. He's saying, I have a goal. Okay, I have this life that God has for me, and I want to live it. And there's this person I want to become, and I refuse to allow what's happened in my past to keep me from my future. My past will inform me, but it will not deform me. My past will educate me, but it will not devastate me. I choose for the power of God to be the guiding power in my life as I move forward. Not the power of my past, but the power of God. And God's solution, the first step, if we're going to move past our past, is we need to choose. We need to make the choice, like Paul does here, to put our past behind us. And as Paul says, to press on into the future, striving for what's ahead. Now, what's amazing, what's really sad, is how often people don't make that choice. Probably a lot of us haven't made that choice. People live as though they don't even have a choice. You know, they're just helpless victims of their past. And what they're doing is they're waiting, hoping, because they're just kind of victims of happenstance, then they're hoping that somehow, maybe someday things will change. You know, I hope that my resentment goes away. I hope someday that the guilt I have for what I've done goes away. I hope that my regrets will go away. And Paul says, listen, That is not how I'm choosing to live my life. I am not hoping. My life is too important, and I only get one of them. I'm doing this right. I am choosing. I am making a choice. I love how he says, this one thing I do. He's like, if I don't get anything else right, I will get this right. I choose not to be chained to my past. I am releasing its power over me. I forget what's behind. And we need to make the same choice about the thing from our past that I asked you to identify that's been holding you back. I told you, God has answers for us. God can help us to move past our past. And it starts with making this choice. And I wonder, will you make it? Will you make the choice to not let your past define you? That you're going to put your past in your past. Once you make that choice, the second step of God's solution includes identifying the cause of what happened to us. Because God's answer, God's solution for moving past our past depends on the cause. So if you think about the things that happen to people, the bad things that happen to us, really there are three different causes. And sometimes there'll be kind of a mixture of the three. But a bad thing that happens in my life can be my bad, right? Or it can be your bad, or it can be just it's bad. Another way of saying it, we could say it's either my fault, or it's your fault, or it's no one's fault. And how you move past your past and in the future depends entirely on which of those causes it was. Okay, so let's start with my bad. So there are things probably in all of our past that we can't seem to move past, and it's my fault, right? I did wrong. And moving past them requires me, God says, to acknowledge them, to own them, and to learn from them. There's a word the Bible uses for what we need to do to get past the my bad kind of hurts from our past, and it's the word confess. Confess. The Bible tells us, for instance, if you want to read this, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this, that when we have sin in our life and we choose to just ignore it or pretend it didn't happen, kind of, you know, sweep it under the rug, if we keep it hidden, we will never move past it. Unfortunately, that's what most of us do. We do something wrong, we sin, we hurt someone, and then we just choose to, like, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to pretend it didn't happen. Or I'm going to cover it up. And I'm just going to keep moving forward. And the Bible says, if that happens, you will never move past it. The Bible says that when we bring our sin and keep it in the darkness, it just festers. It just becomes worse and uglier. But when we take our sin and we bring it into the light through confession, that's when it can be healed. There's a guy in the Old Testament, the Bible's name is David. And David was a guy who believed in God, he loved God, but he screwed up. He committed adultery. And David decides that he's going to pretend it never happened, that he's going to cover up what he did, just pretend it didn't happen, I'm just going to keep living my life. Except he found he couldn't just keep living his life. He was miserable. He didn't have any joy, he just had guilt, he didn't have happiness. And so finally, after quite a while of pretending that nothing was wrong, when everything inside of him told him that something was really wrong, finally, he confesses what he did to God. He acknowledges what he's done, and he doesn't blame anyone else. He just owns it. And in the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, David writes about kind of the before and after of his confession, what he felt like before and what happened after he confessed. Here's what he writes in Psalm 32, verses 4 and 5. He said, or starting in verse 3. No, starting in verse 4. I'm right. He says, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then, and that's the critical word here, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And then as he continues on in the psalm, he says, God, you are my hiding place. God, I rejoice in you. Man, that is really different from your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped. And what set him free was confession. The Bible says if we're ever going to move past our my bad past, we need to confess our sins to God. And we need to confess our sins to another person. Check out what the Bible says in James. By the way, this is what David did. Not only did he confess to God, he also confessed to a friend of his named Nathan. James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that, here's why we do this, so that you may be healed. And so part of the path, God says, to a better future and out of our past is to confess your sins not only to God, but also to another person. Who? I don't know. It may be the person that you sinned against. Maybe as you evaluate the situation and you talk to God about it, maybe you realize I need to go to that person and I need to confess my sin to that person. Or it may be that you decide, you know what, I think that would actually create more pain for that person and it would do more damage, and so it's not that person. Maybe you just have a trusted friend who you go to, someone who won't judge you, someone who will pray for you, and you confess it to that friend. By the way, God is not the only one who's saying that confession is the path to becoming free. If you're an addict and you decide that you want to be free of your addiction, you'll discover that the 12 steps are considered the path to freedom. And what is step 5? Admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. It's confession. God says, if what happened in your past, this thing that's holding you back, is a my bad, the way past it is to confess, to acknowledge your sin, to own your sin, not to blame anyone else. And you will be amazed if you do that, how it starts to set you free. I realize it takes a lot of courage to do this. No one wants to do this. But you have to if you want to be free. If you have a my bad in your past and you want to get past it, you have to confess. Well, there's another category, and it's your bad, right? Your bad. The hurt comes not from something I've done, but from something that was done to me. So maybe someone hurt you, someone betrayed you, someone bullied you, someone deliberately insulted you or disrespected you or violated you in some way. And God says that there is a solution for your bad kind of hurts that allows you to move past the past of that hurt. And the solution is to forgive. It's to forgive. So with my father, and my whole life, it was like I was living with my eyes on the rearview mirror. Like I was trying to move forward, but my eyes were never off the rearview mirror. And it's hard to move forward when you're always looking behind you, right? And so like I was just fixated on what he did to me and what he said to me and what he called me, and I let all of that define me. And so I hated myself. And I had this anger that I was holding inside, and it would come bursting out at the most inopportune times and at all the wrong people. And so I hated myself even more. And I could not get past it. But I knew I had to, and I knew that the only way was to forgive my dad. But I just seemed to not be able to do that. And so what I did, I started studying forgiveness. I learned what forgiveness is not. That forgiveness is not saying that what the other person did was okay. A lot of us think that, like, if I forgive you, I'm saying that what you did was okay, but it's not okay. Forgiveness is not saying what the person did was okay. God would not say that what happened was okay, but he would say you need to forgive. Forgiveness is also not sweeping it under the rug. That's what I had tried to do. It's like, I'm just going to pretend it never happened and just try to forget about it. That is not forgiveness. When we try to sweep it under the rug, what we're doing is we're just internalizing our feelings, and it will become toxic, and we will become bitter, bitter people. Forgiveness is also not forgetting. Like, we can't forget. We're not built that way. Our minds don't work that way. And God's not asking us to forget what happened because we can't. I also learned, as I say, forgiveness in the Bible, what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. Now, it doesn't mean you love what happened to you or you're grateful for what happened to you, but it does mean you need to just accept it. It is what it is, and you can't change it, and you need to release your hope for a better past. Because if we stay bitter about our past, it can ruin our future. But when we forgive, it doesn't change our past, but it can change our path, right? What happened to me doesn't change, but what can happen in my future as I move forward, that can change, and it can put me on a new path. Forgiveness is also releasing my right to retaliate. We give up our right to get back at the person or to seek revenge against the person. So the Bible says that justice is God's job. And so I have to come to a point where, you know what, if that person needs to be punished for what they did to me, I'm going to let God figure that out. Like, my job is not to get justice. My job is to forgive. And yeah, that's not natural. It's really difficult. It's not fair. Like, forgiving someone for what they did to you, that's not fair. But it is better. It is better. And we have this God who loves us, and he's trying to point us in the direction of a better life. Forgiveness is releasing my right to retaliate. And forgiveness also releases the power of Jesus into my life. See, God calls us to forgive, but he knows and he totally understands that it's not easy to forgive. The reason he understands that it's not easy to forgive is because he chose to forgive you. And he chose to forgive me. And the Bible says that we all have all kinds of awful things that we've done to God. And yet he chose to forgive us. And to forgive us, what he had to do was be separated from his son who came to earth to suffer and be tortured and die on a cross for us. God understands that it's not easy to forgive. And that's why he doesn't just ask us to forgive. He offers to give us the power to do what he's asking us to do. And that's what's happened with me. So I wasn't willing to live a life stuck in the past anymore. And so I said, I'm not going to hope that I forgive. I choose. And what I did was I went to counseling for a while. I went to a support group for 27 weeks, a 3-hour-a-week support group. And instead of trying to ignore what happened in my past, I intentionally went back to my past and dealt with it. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and one day, I forgave my dad. Now, I had said the words like dozens of times, like, oh, okay, I forgive him. Okay, I forgive him. But I had never forgave him. And one day, I actually did. And everything started to change for me. Like, it just started to set me free. Like, this anger that I had always had, like, boiling under the surface, it just started subsiding. Like, I it was shocking to me. Like, I started treating other people better. I'm still not where I need to be yet, but I am so much better than I was. And I wonder for you, if putting your past in the past and finally getting to your future means that there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe you need to have a conversation with that person. Invite them out for coffee and forgive. Maybe you're thinking, I can't do that. I'm not ready for that. Okay, so maybe you start by talking to God and recognizing that God's asked you to forgive and he's offered you forgiveness. And so what he's asking you to do is the same thing that he did for you. Maybe you, like me, need to go to counseling, but you need to get to a place where you can forgive. Maybe you've been hurt by your bad, and to get past it, the only way is forgiveness. All right, well, there's one last category. Remember, we had the my bad, we had the your bad, and then we had the it's bad. It's like, I didn't do anything wrong. No one did anything wrong to me. It's just, life is painful sometimes, and you got hurt by it, right? Like, life can just be this train of pain, and you happen to be standing on the tracks, and it plowed over you. Maybe a loved one died too early. maybe you have this regret. You know, you're just always thinking, if only the circumstances of my life had been different, things would be so much better now. So what's God's solution for that? What is God's answer to move past the it's bad hurts of life? Hope. It's hope. You have to believe that God is still God and He still has a future for you. That what happened wasn't the end of your story, because God still has a future for you. You have to believe that the brightness of God's future for you will outshine the darkness of your past. There's a great book by the best-selling author Malcolm Gladwell. All of his books are good, but one of them is called David and Goliath. And in this book, he tells that one-third of the United States presidents had a parent who died when they were just a young child. And one-third of England's prime ministers had a parent die when they were a child. And an extraordinary amount, a bizarre amount of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world have dyslexia. And it's like, wait a second, those kind of it's bad hurts tend to paralyze a lot of people. Why is it that some people just rise above those circumstances and live great lives? What's the difference? Turns out, it's hope. It's hope. They believed that their suffering had meaning, that it was propelling them into a better future. This guy Paul we've been talking about, he writes in another book called Romans, a verse that I would encourage you to memorize. It's just one of those verses that it's just nice to have to be able to pull it when you're going through something hard. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he writes, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." He starts out and he says, "And we know." He doesn't say, "And we think." You know, he doesn't say, "Well, we like to believe." Like, we don't know this, but we he didn't say that. He says, "We know that in all things," not in some things, not in the things that we enjoy, not in the things that went our way, in all things, in everything that happens, what? He says, God is at work. God didn't cause those things. That's not what he's saying at all. He says, God doesn't cause those things. Bad things happen. And what we know is that God is at work in those bad things even, bringing good out of bad for those who love Him. Listen, that is true truth. And when you believe that, it gives you hope. Hope to move past your past. We see this with all kinds of people in the Bible, including, so this guy, Paul. That passage we looked at earlier where he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." He wrote that letter, that's now a book of the Bible, from prison. So he was in jail. The reason he was in jail was because he had been talking to people about Jesus, which was illegal at the time. And so he gets thrown in prison. How do most people respond to that? I think with, "Seriously, God? Like, I'm out there trying to tell people about Jesus like you want me to, and I get thrown in prison for it? Thanks a lot, God. That's just great." But that is not how Paul responds. What we see when he's in prison is we see him in the middle of the night singing praise songs to God. And during the day, he spends his days telling the prison guards about Jesus. The very thing he'd been thrown in prison for, he just keeps doing it in jail. In that same letter, he talks about this hope he has, and his hope was not in his ability to overcome his circumstances. His hope was in Jesus, who overcame the grave. Later in that letter that he's writing from prison, he says, "I want to know Christ." And then he says, "I want to participate in His sufferings." He's like, "I want to suffer for Jesus." And I read that and I'm like, why? Why would anyone want to suffer? here's what he says. He says, because I want to know the power of his resurrection. So I want to suffer with Jesus because I want to know, I want to personally experience the power of his resurrection. He's saying like when you're in relationship with a God who can bring good out of a wrongful execution and bring life out of death, well, there's always hope. There's always hope. Anything can be overcome. And if you're in relationship with that God, there is always hope. You always have hope. Whatever its bad experiences you've had in the past, you can move past them because you have hope in a God who has a better future for you in this life and a perfect future for you in heaven. And if you're not in relationship with that God, he loves you and he is inviting you into relationship with him. And if you have questions about that, or maybe you don't have questions, maybe you're just like, I want that. And we would love to talk to you. I'll be hanging out after services, people at the Velcro Bar. Even better yet, I would encourage you, take the Verge course that we're offering starting this Wednesday. It's 6 Wednesday nights. I teach it. And what we talk about is, like, what does it look like for you to start and grow in a relationship with God? Not just to believe in Jesus or to believe in the Bible, but how do I really live in a relationship with God? I hope you'll sign up for that class today. Listen, there is a way to get past your past. We'll talk more about it in this series. And what we're going to talk about a lot more starting next week is your future. We're going to focus on your future. Like, how do you get from where you are to where you want to be? How do you become the person you want to become? How do you make sure your dreams come true? So many people die with regrets. How do we die with accomplished dreams and goals? We're going to start talking about that next week. And for now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give you just a couple minutes to pray. I would encourage you to use this couple minutes to talk to God. Maybe you have a my bad sin that you need to talk to him about. Maybe confess for the first time. It'll put you on a path towards freedom. Maybe you need to ask God to help you to forgive someone who's hurt you and you've never offered forgiveness, and you're going to have to if you're ever going to move past that past. Or maybe you just need to ask God to give you hope. You know, to help you believe that no matter what's happened, God is still God and he still has a future for you. And that the brightness of his future outweighs the darkness of your past. So we're going to have the band play just one last song. And during this time, you can do any of that. And we also have communion available if you'd like to take it. It's on the three tables around the room, and it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given for us on the cross. Communion is a way that we remember that Jesus died on a cross for us, for our sins, but he overcame his past and our past when he walked out of the grave, life from death. And so if you'd like to take communion, you're welcome to do that. And so I'm going to pray, and then we'll give you a couple minutes to pray, and then we'll finish up. God, what an awesome God you are. And so many people, so many of us probably are just stuck in our past. I was for so long. And we just can't seem to move forward into the future we want. Or we're trying to move forward, but we're doing it on a flat tire, and we just don't seem to be getting anywhere. And then we have this God who loves us so much. And he says, I have a path out of your past. And it's a path that will give you future as you move, or freedom as you move into your future. God, thank you so much for that. And I pray that we wouldn't just hear this stuff, but we would do it. That we would make a choice today. I am no longer hoping to get past my past and move into my future. I today am choosing. And I know the next step is there may be sins I need to confess. There may be people I need to forgive. And there definitely is a God I need to put my hope in. Not in myself, but in you, God. And there are things from my past that just make my life seem not okay and make me feel like maybe I'm not okay. But because I have hope in you, God, I know that it is going to be okay. God, I thank you for sending Jesus for us so we can know all this is true. We pray all this in his name. Amen.